Grab a seat, everybody. I am fired up for today. It's Baptism Sunday, and I love these at Christ Rock because you know what it means? God's moving in the lives of people in our church and in our community, and we're going to celebrate that today. It's going to be a good day. Now, it's a moment. It's a moment that's meant to matter, and moments matter, and we're going to celebrate that moment in a minute, but before we do, I want to open God's Word and talk about why baptism matters, and as we get ready for that, I want you to think about a question. What's a defining moment in your life? What's a moment that stands out to you? We've had these. All of us have had defining moments, positive and negative. Think about a positive one for a moment. What comes to mind? What made that moment special for you? When I think of some of mine, I think of the birth of my children. I have three little ones. I think of graduating from college. I never thought I would, but I did. And that was a special day. And I think about being ordained here at Christ the Rock, right here on the stage. All these things come to mind for me, but the moment that sticks out the most for me is my wedding day. I just celebrated 12 years of marriage on July 3rd. Yeah, thank you. I'm really proud of us because I'm a handful. I really am. 12 is a long time. But I remember that day like it was yesterday. Over a decade, I still remember it, everything about it. We got married at Smith Park, not far from here, and it was a beautiful summer day, and all my friends and family were there, and I was nervous. I mean, I wanted everything to be perfect, and so I was just all jittery and anxious, and Bill Enns, our old pastor here, did my wedding, and he was late. He said the fish were biting on Lake Michigan. No kidding. That, like, what? I that didn't help with my anxiety. I said, Bill, where are you? He said, don't worry, I'll be there. It's great. Okay, cool. Showed up. Everything was great. He walked us through the ceremony. It was everything that I hoped it would be. It was a great day. But the moment that stuck out the most to me, the one that mattered most it's what I love of every wedding, but in mine, it's the moment my wife walked down the aisle. That moment when she entered, this is what she looked like. That's my wife. Isn't she beautiful? Yeah. What a moment. So I lost it. I'm like, I couldn't hold it together. I kind of forgot what I was doing. She kind of got to the end, and I had to be reminded, like, go get her, Joel. Don't just stand there. Like, come on. Okay. All right. And we came, and Bill walked us through the ceremony. It was beautiful. He created a beautiful moment for us. That moment mattered. I'll never forget that moment as long as I live. See, moments matter. These moments signify something in our life, a change in identity or how we live our life, who we are. And we're meant to remember moments because they signify a change in our lives, right? Every time I look at my wedding ring, I go, I made vows to my wife. I think about my wedding day. I remember what happened and how far God has taken me since that day, taken us since that day. There's a moment in the life of every believer that's meant to matter, and that's our baptism. There's many moments, but our baptism is meant to be remembered. But sadly, a lot of us don't really think about it very often. We don't know why it matters or we don't remember it because, I mean, frankly, a lot of us were just baptized as infants, right? I mean, how many of you were baptized as an infant? I was, right, in the Catholic Church, and I respect the reasoning behind that, but I just don't recall it at all. I mean, I got baptized on my grandma's couch in Reidsville, Wisconsin by a priest. Don't remember it. I mean, my dad said I didn't cry, which I'm proud, I guess. That's cool, but I don't remember that. And a lot of us are baptized in some part of a worship service a long time ago, and we don't think a whole lot about it or why it matters. And kind of for me, too, I was 15. I sort of knew what I was doing, but I don't know. I didn't think about it. A lot of us don't think about it or remember. Why does this matter, this moment? So I want to talk about why it matters. Some of you getting baptized today, for those of you getting baptized, I want you to know what the Word of God says about baptism, why this is special, why it matters. And for those of us who have been baptized, I want to help us remember why, rethink through, and just kind of reinvigorate that moment we were baptized and remember what it means. And so I want to talk about a few reasons as to why this is so great, what we're celebrating today. And the first one I want to talk about is really the most basic. Baptism's ordained by Jesus. Right? He invites us. He asks us to do this. If for no other reason, it's really the simplest reason. It's because it's important to Jesus. Baptism matters to him. So some of the last words he shared with his disciples were about baptism. He had risen from the dead. He's about to ascend to heaven, and he says to his disciples, he says this. It's called the Great Commission. He says, Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And then he says this, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, which we're going to do in a minute, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The first commandment here is to make disciples. That's what he said. That's what we do as a church. At Christ Rock, it's important that we're always going to be making disciples. And we want to get better at that. That's a focus of Christ the Rock. We want to make disciples. And he says, do two things to every disciple. Baptize them and teach them. Until I come back, till the end of the age. The age ends when he comes back. He hasn't come back yet. So we're going to keep baptizing. We're going to keep teaching. That's what we're going to do. If for no other reason at Christ Rock, we just trust and obey the word of God. We trust the wisdom of Jesus in this book. And so we baptize. I heard a story recently about the wisdom, right? The why we should just trust wisdom higher than our own. There's a story of a Hurricane Andrew, a house. There's this neighborhood. If you remember Hurricane Andrew, 92, if you're alive back then. It's really the greatest single natural disaster to hit the country, most expensive up until that time. And it hit down southern Florida, and there was this neighborhood that just wiped everything out in the neighborhood. But there was this one house standing. And so this reporter went to the guy who owned the house and said, hey, why do you think your house withstood this hurricane? He said, well, I built it myself. I built it according to the Florida State Building Code. So if it said, use 2x6 trusses for the roof, that's what I did. I just listened to the code. And it promised, it said that if I build my house according to the code, that it will withstand a hurricane. So I did, and it did. See? And he looked around at the neighborhood, and he said, I don't think anyone else built their house according to the code. He's like, oh, look at this. Sometimes the simplest reason's the best. God invites us to be baptized. So we trust the wisdom of God. Because you know what Christ is inviting us into? He wants to draw close to us in this moment. In baptism, he wants to remind us of things, talk about how we're united with him. He wants to communicate something with us, but he wants us to communicate something too. He wants us to proclaim our faith in front of a group of people like this, to take a stand for him. That's what this is about. So it's about obedience, but really what baptism is a profession of our faith in Jesus Christ. That's why it's important. It's when we say we're a follower of Jesus. There's a lot of confusion. There's not a lot, but a fair amount in different denominations about what baptism actually means. Some say we should baptize infants. Some say baptism is necessary for salvation. We don't see the biblical evidence of that at Christ the Rock. What we understand about salvation in the Word of God is that we're saved by grace through faith. There's nothing we can do to earn it. It's just a gift that God does. And he's so generous. This is what it says in Ephesians. It says, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves. Right? This is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's just from God. He gives it to us. We believe that salvation is his gift to us. It's nothing we can earn. It's a gift to anyone who repents of their sin, puts their faith in the saving power of Jesus Christ. Aside from genuine repentance, there is nothing we have to do or can do to earn salvation. Even the act of repentance, of saying, oh Lord, I'm sorry, is the work of the Holy Spirit bringing us to a point where we actually see our sin for what it is. And when we respond to that and say, Lord, I need you. You're my Savior. I need a Savior. That is the only thing we can do, but it's the Holy Spirit who brings us to that point. All we need to do is just accept that gift of grace from God. It's the free gift. There's nothing we have to do to earn it. And so if baptism was necessary for salvation somehow, it would be a work we could do. So you could walk up today and say, I'd like to be baptized so I can be saved. And we'd say, no, we can't do that. Because first you have to be saved by grace through faith. There has to be the work of God in your life. So the way we often say this is, baptism is an outward expression of an inward transformation. Of a change that's happened because you've had a radical encounter with Jesus Christ. So all the people being baptized today, they've already come to faith in Jesus Christ. They've already given their lives to him, repented of their sin, and said, Lord, I need a Savior. And they've become his disciple and started following him as a disciple. Every one of you. And I know many of you, and I'm so proud of you being baptized. I've watched you live your lives. They're being obedient to Jesus to a call of an outward expression of an inward transformation. So all of that's going down today. That's why we can't baptize a non-Christian here. You can't roll up and go, hey, I want to be saved and just put me in there and I'll come out a Christian. It doesn't work like that. You first have to be a follower of Jesus. It's also why we don't baptize infants. Because babies, they don't really sin. They can be difficult, but they don't choose to sin, right? They can't put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so we don't baptize infants. We want that to be a profession of faith from a heart that's been transformed. Okay, so baptism is an expression of faith. It's you public. Everybody doing this today is going to publicly, in front of all of you, go into this water and say, I am a follower of Jesus. I am unashamed, and I'm going to be his disciple. That's what we're doing here today, and it's powerful. But it gets deeper. The meaning gets much deeper. Here's what it does. In baptism, right, God reminds us of our truest identity. There is an identity spoken over us in baptism. So when he started his public ministry, he lived 30 years and he's ready to go out. God calls him. He says, now's the time, Jesus. It's time to go. He's about 30 years old. He goes to his cousin, John the Baptist, in the Jordan River to be baptized. All four gospels record this. And I say that because there's strong evidence that this happened. And the exact words that were spoken over Jesus are recorded in all gospels. And so as Jesus comes out of the water, God makes sure he knows who he is. And this is what he says over him. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. What God's doing, he's saying, I don't want you to go into your ministry, Jesus, without knowing exactly who you are and that I love you, that you're mine, and I'm pleased with you. And as we get baptized, when you are baptized, God says the same thing to us. He speaks those words of life over to us. This is hard to believe, but I want this scripture, I want you to just dare to trust that this is true of you if you're a Christian. Galatians 3:26 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. It's not through baptism, but it's through faith in Jesus Christ. And if that's true, then if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a child of God. You are deeply loved. You belong to your Father and you are fully pleasing. That's what's true. If for no other reason, really, baptism is important because it reminds us of our truest identity. Right, in a world where it's never been more confusing, right, to know who am I? People say all kinds of different things about us, speak different identities to us, right? Like, it's so hard to know who we are. God in baptism says, I am the creator of the universe. I am your Father. I get the final word on speaking life into you. And you are my beloved child. And I love you so much. And you're pleasing to me, and I'm with you. You can run, you can stray, I'm gonna chase you down, you can sin, and I'm gonna forgive you. I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. That is what's true of you. God gets the final word on our authority. He gets to speak those words of life into us. That's what a father does. My daughter's name is Finley Adelziner. This is her. That's my girl. She took that picture of herself. Gives a little bit of her personality. And we chose the name Finley Adele, my wife Jen and I, for a reason. It means fair-haired warrior. She's been a feisty little girl, strong-willed from the beginning, and she's lived into this name that she has. She is courageous and fearless and compassionate and kind, and she fights for what's right. She'll stick up for people who need fighting for. Like, that's what my girl's about. I've seen this in her. And recently, she's come to me and said, Dad, I want you to change my name to Caitlin. I said, what? I go, why? That's the name of my favorite teacher at school. Oh, right, oh, sweet. That's so kind. Caitlin, Miss McDaniel, Joel, Little Shoot School, little shout out. She's great, sweet teacher. My daughter's so charmed by her. She's like, would you change my name to that, Daddy? I thought, well, I mean, that's really sweet, honey, I asked her, but don't you like the name Finley? Yeah, kind of, you know. It's nice, Dad. I'm like, she's trying to be polite with me. I'm like, what are you doing? Okay, but she goes, I like Caitlin more. And this went on for a while. I'm like, okay. Eventually I said to her, hey, sweetie, you don't get to choose your name. That's the privilege of your mother and father to name you. And we chose your name for a reason. I said, your name is Finley Adele. You're a fair-haired warrior. And you are kind and brave and compassionate. And you are beloved. You're our beloved daughter. And you're a child of God who loves you. That's who you are, right? It's my privilege and job as her father to speak words of life into her. It's my job and my wife's job to remind her of who she is. That's what a parent does. Because right? I know she's fickle like other kids. She's gonna like another name someday. She's gonna chase something else. Okay, And when she does, I'm gonna go, hey, no, this is who you are. This is what I see in you. This is what I love about you, right? That's what a father and a mother ought to do with their children. We need the same thing from our Father in heaven, right? Because as adults, we forget who we are, don't we? And we say things, I'm gonna make a name for myself, right? We chase all these different identities. We piece these things together. I mean, that's what we do. We even let other people name us and put identities upon us. We let that happen to us, right? We need our Father to remind us of what's true. And our Father does that. He watches us, he sees us, and he says, I am the creator of the universe. I am your father, and you know what you are? You are deeply loved, you are fully pleasing, and you are my child, whom I love. In baptism, as people get baptized today, I want you to know, God is saying that to you. And those of us who watch it, it's a reminder to us that that identity, above all other identities, is absolutely true of us. Right? And if that's not sweet enough, it gets even better. The meaning of baptism gets even deeper. Baptism is a reminder of our unity with Jesus, of that we're actually united. So what happens, I mean, you may have been, the day you go, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm gonna do that. You kind of convert, you actually become you're serious about that. Something radical happens inside of you. You change, but you might not feel it. You don't walk out and go, whoo, I'm different. No, you may, but something does change. It's very confusing. And it's not always easy to understand everything that happens. So baptism is meant to help remind us of that and make sense of it. Some of the best teaching of that comes from Romans chapter 6. That's what it says. Verse 3 and 4. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This is a promise of newness of life. The unity we have with Jesus is in his death and in his resurrection. What was true of him becomes true of us. And so baptism helps us sort this out. And it's a twofold promise. It's incredible. So when we see these people get baptized, when you get baptized today, you're going to go into the water. It's a physical and it's a spiritual promise. And so when you go into the water, it's a reminder that one day we're all going to die. Right? Unless Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to die. I mean, that's a reality we have to live with. But when we're raised out of the water, right? It's a reminder that, you know what, one day, physically, we are going to be raised from the dead to live in a new heaven and a new earth with God forever. It's the promise of eternal life with him. That's the first promise. The second one is he doesn't leave us here alone to be like, okay, well, I'm going to die and I'll go to heaven someday. And what about now? What about now? Because I'm still struggling. I still need you, Lord. There's a spiritual promise that when we go down into that water and you're lowered into it, that old sinful self who just couldn't get past things, who was full of shame and guilt and had all these hang-ups and all that, like that goes into the water and dies spiritually. And when you're raised out of that water, it symbolizes this transformation of newness, a new creation. You're actually a new creation. And the reason you're a new creation is that the power of God is now inside of you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. So now you can actually overcome shame and guilt. You can actually overcome sin and addiction, and we've seen it happen. Or you can follow Jesus out of love, not out of obedience, like, oh, I got to do this in drudgery, but actually out of this joy. That's the new life talked about in Romans 6. Baptism's a symbol, helps us remind us of this newness of life. But there's one more thing I want. Before we do these baptisms, one more thing about baptism that makes it so meaningful. Is baptism is a reminder that our sins are totally washed away, gone. Some of you, I think, are walking in here today. Some people walk in and go, you know what? Like, I'm a bad person. Like, that's just who I am. It's maybe God can forgive some people, not me. I've done things you wouldn't even believe, make your head spin, Pastor. I've been doing it so long, I'll never get out of it. There's no God cannot forgive me. There's just no way. That's for other people. See, what baptism reminds us of is that we are washed clean. There's a totality of forgiveness that happens. It's all encompassing. The Old Testament predicted it as we anticipated Jesus. Listen to these verses, they're incredible. Comes out of Psalm 103, says, as far as the east is from the west, we're talking far, has Christ so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah 118 says, come now, let us settle the matter. Let's be done with it, says the word of God. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Baptism reminds us that our sins are totally cleansed, totally gone. It reminds us that we're free from the penalty of sin too. You don't have to stand before God and worry like he's going to say, you know what you did, and he's going to hold you. Like, you're free from the penalty of sin, which is death. And all of the shame, all of the guilt, it's meant to be washed away. Breaking the bonds of sin, all of the chains, all of the garbage, he says, just leave it in there. So when you get baptized today, those of you who are getting baptized, all of your sin, all of your shame is going to be left down in there. And when you come up, you are clean and white as snow and completely forgiven. And God wants you to walk out of this place in the full confidence that you're not carrying any of that garbage with you. All of this is true. And it's why baptism is so meaningful. And so in a moment, I'm going to invite you guys up here and we're going to baptize. And as these, we're going to see a number of people make this profession of faith right here. And as they do, let's celebrate this. We're going to spend some time in worship. Let's celebrate the fact they're being obedient to Christ. Right? They are making a public profession of faith in front of all of you, a full room of people. They're going to do this. Say, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to give my life to him. I've given my life to him, and I don't care who knows it. Right? We're going to celebrate the fact that their identity is in Jesus, that their sins are forgiven, and they're united with Christ. Now, all of this is something we're going to celebrate, but I don't want us to just celebrate that it's true of them. This moment is meant to remind us that it's true of all of us. It's true of all of us. So let's celebrate that we are forgiven, chosen people, deeply loved, fully pleasing to our Father. And we're going to do that in just a minute. But before we do, I just have to say this. If you have never heard this about Jesus, you go, I didn't know that was true. I didn't know it's possible to be assured that I have eternal life in heaven with God. I didn't know my sins could be forgiven. I didn't know that my identity was in him and all that was true of me, but you want it to be true. And you just sense the Spirit saying, you know you need a Savior. You know you need one today. You can come accept Jesus right now. Repent of your sin, accept him, and begin to follow him today. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that he is Lord, and you profess with your mouth that he is raised from the dead, all right, then you are saved. And you can be baptized right now. I don't care if you're in your clothes. We'll just go ahead. We got towels over here. We'll baptize you on the spot. And if you've been following Jesus or you're baptized as a child, but you've never been baptized as an adult, you've never made that profession of faith, you can do that today. Just go ahead and get in line with, right over here by Peter. Raise your hand, Peter. Come talk to Peter. And we'll just go ahead and baptize you on the spot right now. If you know today's the day and all of this is true and you're ready to profess faith, let's do it. We're gonna do it in just a minute. Now, how we're gonna do this is, I wanna show you a video. And this video has testimony of the people who have been baptized, who are getting baptized. This is what God's been doing in and through their lives. I'm gonna have you watch this. And as this video plays, those of you getting baptized, would you go ahead and get up, come over here by Peter, and he's gonna get you set up. And then we're just gonna praise God and sing some songs as we celebrate these baptisms. So check this out on the side screens, and then let's celebrate.
I recently accepted Jesus as Lord of this world, and soon after, I felt him enter my heart and clean the poison from my soul. It has been the most important thing to ever happen to me.
I accepted Christ and became a Christian in December of 2020. I had always believed in God, and I had prayed and thought about him often, but I never truly pursued him or put him first. This changed after my family started attending Christ the Rock and I began getting into the Word. A friend's mom had reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to join a Bible study. I was hesitant at first, but it truly changed my life. Tammy, my Bible study leader, planted a seed in me by giving me the gospel. We met weekly, starting in October, and continued to meet every week. In hard times or times of struggle, I turn towards God and find comfort in Him. I have grown in my faith an incredible amount, and I am so excited for God's plan for me. Being baptized is the next step in my walk with Christ, and I am so excited to publicly declare that I am a follower of Jesus.
I grew up in a Christian home. My parents took me to church every Sunday, and I grew up part of that church. I thought that being a good person and following the commandments is what would help me get into heaven. I will never forget this sermon that led me to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Pastor Joel spoke about the life after death and the paradise that God had prepared for us. I was brought to tears thinking about an everlasting life with Christ. At that point, all I wanted was to know Jesus and tell others about God's promise.
I grew up in a Christian home all my life, going to church and learning the Bible. But I really made my faith in Christ my own and made a firm commitment to Him at a youth rally in middle school. I realized that day how significant Christ's sacrifice on the cross for me really was in clearing me of all sin and death in my life. I recommitted my life fully into His hands and fully understood how significant that decision in my life really was.
Like a shepherd leaving the 99 for the one, I had turned away from Him and my faith and had no idea how to come back after the things I had done. I had felt like I wasn't good enough, that I couldn't be forgiven. Then one night after work, I was listening to a pastor's sermon on the family radio, and at the end of his sermon, he asked if I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and that night I did.
While reading the book, A Man After God's Own Heart, I really started to understand my identity in Christ. From then on, I had the desire to live a changed life.
I want to be his follower. I want to be just like Jesus Christ. I want my story to be like Jesus' story. I want to be like him.